left, and the poker players held their cards in their hands, frozen in mid-bet. Christy took her lover's arm.
Center of attraction.
Looks like she'd be one of old Sharpie's pets.
Ignore it, babe. They reached the bottom of the stairs, turning sharply into the lake of deep shadows, where the oil lamps didn't reach. Ryan pushed open the door, standing back to allow Christy through first, keeping an eye open for any danger from the main room behind. But the moment of tension had passed. Clinker scales had done them proud. The private room was brightly lit with 24 tallow candles set in sconces around the walls, and there was a reasonably clean cloth on the long table. Admittedly, the candles were guttering, smoking and smelling, and one leg was missing off the table, but the man had tried. He'd even propped up the missing leg with a pile of dusty green hymnals to keep the table level. Everyone else was there. Doc was in state at the head of the table, in a huge chair of heavily carved oak with a high back. Dean sat next to him on one side, Jack on the other. JB and Mildred were opposite each other, next down the table, leaving two spaces for Ryan and Christy.
Hi there.
Maybe we'll get us some food now that you two bath birds have arrived.
Ryan had barely sat before Clinker Scales himself came popping through, holding a bunch of plastic-covered folders in his sweating hands.
Here are your menus for this evening. Not a wide range, I fear, but all good and cooked in these very kitchens. I'll leave them with you for a few minutes. I have some passing red and white wine. Should I bring them in?
Two of each, thanks.
The golden logo, blind embossed on the outside of the large maroon menus, proclaimed that they came from the Maltese Falcon restaurant in Quince Orchard, Maryland. Mildred looked at the front cover.
This meal's going to be the stuff that dreams are made of. Name of a film with Humphrey... Oh, never mind.
The contents of the menu didn't quite live up to the magnificent exterior. Each one contained a single sheet of paper, handwritten, ill-spelled, with the name of the Lincoln Inn at the top.
Oh. Soup, meat flavor or not, stew, pig or sheep or cow, or quowody or dog, with vegetables on the day, fries, tuna melts, next dish, chicken done how you want it, fruit pie in all flavors, drinks to follow.
Doc laid the menu on the table, looking around as Clinker Scales appeared with four bottles of wine on a tin tray.
Here we go. Interesting, too. Probably puts all the old top hotels to shame.
There's no labels on those bottles.
Truth is, Mr. Carter, they was in a warehouse that gotten itself under the Potomac. Below water for 40 years or so, but the corks was sealed and they all been good so far. Man that said he knows about wine told me that the red's what they call a claret, and it's whites, the white's not called a claret.
Clinker Scales busied himself pouring out glasses for everyone while they studied the bill of fare.
What's the soup?
Oh, yes, the soup. Now, the soup is very made from the finest available. I can promise you that you'll enjoy it. I promise that.
What's the next dish?
Holy mackerel. I never figured I'd have to pass a test for it. Serve you good folks your supper. The next dish is, well, there's chicken fajitas with onions and green peppers with sour cream and a taco and a burrito and an enchilada. Whole thing's covered in green chili and a side order of our own salsa. Refried beans and black olives and lettuce, all with a big hunk of the finest bread baked in all the Green Hill. I remembered it all.
Well, if it's as good as it sounds, I'll give it a try.
Tuna mayo?
Chunk of that bread crammed with a couple of handfuls of tuna and some other fish, topped off with cheese and held under the grill so it don't escape. Fries and sauce on the side.
The barkeep looked at Jack.
Now, just a quick word of advice, son. Around here where Baron Sharp has his veal, you do best to hide that snowy hair.
Why?
Well, Sharpie collects all kinds of odd animals and muties. Like a zoo.
Animals or people?
Oh, animals. Yeah. Animals, mostly.
You telling us that we could be in danger, Peter?
Anything unusual, like you with your hair like living fire and him with his hair hat clear out of the heart of the worst winter blizzard ever known?
Not that uncommon for a Deathlands Baron to show their wealth and power with some sort of collecting. Last one we met like coins. Others have old vids or pre-dark books or clothes or blasters.
Or women.
Or wags or swords. How dangerous is this sharp clinker scales?
Bad if you're unlucky. But his vill's far enough away from the shanty, so you should be safe. And you got some of the finest blasters between y'all, I see. Remember how good old Trader liked blasters, boy? Used to carry a battered armalite, did he not? Looked like he'd use it to batter down a stone wall or stir a stew with it.
Speaking of stew, let's finish the ordering and get some food on the table. Everyone started with the soup, which arrived in a beautiful dark blue tureen and turned out to be a mix of vegetables with some chunks of unidentifiable meat bobbing around in it. The flavor was highly spiced, which concealed any clue as to what it really contained.
Not bad.
Jack wiped his mouth and then picked at a slab of gristle jammed between his front teeth with the needle point of one of his throwing knives. The barman bustled in and collected their empty dishes, checking that there was still enough wine left.
You're pretty busy.
Well, you sure ain't farting Dixie, Mr. Carter. You know how it is, word of strangers in town. Bring in the main courses in just a moment.
What?
Nothing. Just said I'd bring in the...
Not that clinker scales. I asked you what it was.
What?
What's worrying you?
Oh, that... I could never tug the wool down over your eyes, Mr. Carter. Any man of traitors would always be...
Ryan stood, glaring at the barkeep.
Best you tell me what it is.
Clinker Scales looked around, making sure that he'd close the door behind him.
Just that there's some men in the saloon tonight that I never saw before. Spittin' sawdust talk is that they could be sick men, or scouts.
For Sharp?
It could be, Mr. Dix. Hard-eyed men. They laugh like the bark of a hunting wolf, if you take my meaning.
How armed?
I don't know. Two of them got holstered sawdowns, 12 gauges, I reckon. Most have hand blasters out on the hip, and I'm sure I caught sight of a couple of hideaways while serving them.
Food, people. We can talk about getting ourselves murdered by some loony barren Sekhmen after we've eaten. I hate the thought of going to meet my maker on an empty, rumbling stomach.
Right away. Right away.
That's more like it.
The food wasn't at all bad. Ryan chose the mutton stew, finding it to be both rich and satisfying, served with diced carrots, leeks, and fluffy new potatoes. When Clinker Scales reappeared again, bringing the 2 extra bottles of wine that Doc had called for, he saw 7 empty plates.
Holy shit!
As you can see, mine jovial host, Master Simon the Cellarer, we are all sturdy trenchermen here.
Doc beamed proudly, wiping ineffectually at a positive archipelago of grease spots down his frock coat.
And there's the dew-fresh flagons of the rich Medoc and the sharp Chardonnay to keep the party swinging merrily along.
And the trencher women. Don't forget there's ladies present, Doc.
How could I ever forget it when you were always there like a bad conscience to remind me, Dr. Wyeth? There you go with your political correctness again.
Doc rubbed his head and looked across the table at Clinker Scales.
I saw some fine strawberries in your garden as I passed by. I beg you.
I got strawberry pie, Doc. It ain't fresh, so place up north cans them for us, but we also got key lime and cherry and hot fudge and peach and blueberry, all of them with cream.
Peach, peach, peach!
Cherry, please.
Did you say key lime was among the variety of options?
Yep.
Ah, then that is for me. It has long, so long, been my favorite.
Very, very good.
Christy pushed her dish away. Only a few crumbs and a smear of cream was left from the 3rd portion of the hot fudge pie. Dean had set the group record, having 4 helpings of dessert. Starting with peach, he followed it up with strawberry, going on to sample the hot fudge, and finishing up with a huge slice of the cherry pie, dripping with the hot sweet fruit, smothered in rich cream. Clinker Scales had urged the boy to try for 5, but Dean drew a finger across his throat, indicating the level that the food had reached.
Would you like to come out into the bar for a drink or I figured you'd probably rather all go up to your rooms and get early to sleep.
As he said this, Clinker Scales kept wiping his hands with a check apron.
You mean you'd rather we all went up to our rooms?
Well...